I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up.
That shit.
Light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
You love me.
High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Holy, holy, holy.
To see you.
Amen and amen and amen and amen. You love him? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 1. We'll read that. Then we'll read John 1. And then we'll read from Romans 12. Revelations 1, John 1. And Romans 12. Remember these that are out. Some are missing for different reasons. Brother Dick and them said they think it was a battery on his car, but didn't want to take a change. Try to jump off and then come on. But, you know, so just remember that. Remember each one. Pray that the Lord would bless each one and guide each one of us in his understanding and love. Remember now the Bible study will be the first Saturday in February. So remember that and just come and be with us. We have a good time in the Lord. All right? And also now the fellowship meeting will be here on the third Saturday of March. We haven't decided yet who will be the guest speaker, but we will get around to that. But just remember that on the third Saturday in March. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for everything. We thank you for your grace and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, that you are God and you change not. And Father, then that way we can depend upon you to be what we have need of, because you've always been that down through time. Whatever was the need or the hour or what it was, you came on the scene and provided. So in this hour, we have a very great need because we're facing many things. Facing old age, facing many sicknesses that are in the world today, facing horrible things around the world of things that are happening. But we know who is the one that can take care of all things. We just ask you to help us and guide us now. Forgive our sins, and lead us by thy grace, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations, we've been reading this. We still haven't got the background yet to speak on the rest of what we've been trying to speak about, the glory of his person, but we'll get there eventually. Verse 10, Revelations 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. All right, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the pouch with a golden girdle. All right, let's go over to John 1, because that's the one we've been using. And we just use verse 18, saying, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, we want to get over to Romans. And I want you to pay attention to the reading down to the point that we want to do. I was going to just read one verse and that, but I got to looking at it and I said, no, we better carry it all through because we will eventually get back and understand some things about what we're doing. All right. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now it's talking about our everyday life and doings and what we are, right? Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributed to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, look what then it says. Be of the same mind one toward another. Now watch. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. All right. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, the point I want you to get is to think on. Paul is laying all of this down, and then he comes to me to finalize it and to say, all right, now we are these things, we are this, we are that. Back up into further in the chapter 12. But he says, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, we found out in our studies that the word condescend means to lower oneself from a position down lower into maybe another position, taking that from condescend here, 48:29, to submit oneself to lowly things, conditions, employments and things, you know. All right. Webster says to condescend is to waive superiority voluntarily and assume equality with an inferior. It means to stoop, you know. It means to descend. But to waive superiority voluntarily and to assume equality or move down with one of being even inferior. Well, I thought we believed that God's whole point was to in creating man was that he could condescend downward, you know, and become one of us. And I thought that was the understanding that we had of the point of seeing what God's great plan and purpose is to do, to bring the great eternal God down into a position or whatever you want to say, another form, to where you and I can understand him.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
Now, what about the great eternal doing this for you and I?
Amen.
To condescend downward to where you and I are. See, he came in, he created us. I know all about that. But then he came down to dwell with us. Now that's, you know, I love that. That's a great thing to me. All right. Now keep that in mind while we're going along, and then you'll see why we read here in Romans where it says, but condescend to men of low estate. In other words, don't be lifted up. Be not wise in your own conceit. Don't be lifted up. You know, there's a lot of people think this world can't exist without them. There was an old man up in New Holland Cotton Mill years ago. He had a bunch of boys working there, and he just thought he was in control, that they couldn't run without him. And one day he got mad and went and got his boys and walked outside, you know, and he looked back, and you know what? They're still running. He said, I think we better go back inside, you know. But a lot of people in this message think you can't get along without them, you know, especially preachers. Now, they think that they're top-notch. They got to do this. They got to do that, you know. And, you know, they're not going somewhere if they're not preaching. You know, that's all right. But now remember the point. If we are supposed to not look down on somebody, like Brother Brandon said, the baptism of the Holy Ghost make a man with a tuxedo on put his arms around one with a pair of overalls, something to that form. Or a woman with this fancy material dress, you know, hug up one in an old, what do you call it, calico or something, dress, and call them sister, you know, and not think that they're of any greater value, you know. You condescend, see, and that's what God has done to you and I. So that's what I'm trying to get you to look at. To help us to understand. All right? Now, we covered this past Wednesday, dealing a lot with it, of how that we made sure and even brought up a lot of the quotes that we had brought before on the message. See, I believe God is real. Amen. Amen. Well, God is just a spirit. Well, now, where did you get that from? Well, the Bible says. Well, the Bible says he's a being.
Right.
The Bible says he had a, would bring out.
Right.
Cannot be a being and then be omnipresent. He abides in a place. Why would you pray for the Holy Ghost if it's omnipresent, that he filled every crack and crevice? See, he'd be in you, he said. Right? What's he trying to emphasize? Fellowship, 1960. Why would you seek the Holy Ghost? It would be in you. If God is just like we think about him to be, just floating around. But he has a dwelling place because he's a being. Things that are to be, 1965. Can't be just like the wind over the earth because he's a being. He just isn't a myth. He dwells in a place called heaven. You remember these? It wasn't so from the beginning, 1960. But God could not be just like the air is because God has a dwelling place. God is not a myth. God is a being. We would see Jesus, 1957. God is just not like the air, but he's a being. Who is this Melchizedek, 1965? God is a being. He's not like the wind. He dwells in a house. But being omniscient, all right, he then can be omnipresent. You remember that? By being omniscient to know all things, he knows where he needs to be and can be there to record. As I always say, he's not on the moon today. If nobody's on the moon, why be on the moon? He doesn't have to be. All right? But my point has been to you to get one thing to you, that he's a being. He's real. It's not just to say, well, God's a spirit. No man can see God. Well, the Bible said, where we read it there, that the Son, which was in the bosom of the Father, hath brought him out in the open, or declared him.
Right?
See, then he's real. All right? Now, that's my point. He's real, but then when the Bible would make statements, we try to figure that out intellectually without waiting for God to bring it to us by revelation by Spirit, you know. All right? And in doing that, we make up our own mind as to what God he is and what's going on and what this is and that is. And the Bible will make some outstanding statements, you know. Like I've always said, we don't believe in three gods or nothing like that. But the Bible said the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That makes about five of them. But it's never taught nothing like that. That's our way because of the way that we've put meanings to words. And I want to get to that in a minute. You know, we put meanings to words. They had a lot of problems with Brother Branham's message, or still do, in the foreign fields, of coming up with some of the words that he uses. And I well remember, see, the point that I was reading him when he was talking about that they would go out and they would go seining, and they would catch the fish. And I thought, what is seining? We call it seining. All right? Well, see, I did. I had to look up and see what that meant. You know, I'm not that smart. I'm sorry. You think I am a lot of, but I went to the dictionary and found out what the word heat, the way they spelled it, and I found out it was the same old word we was using that we say we're seining them creeks. Yeah. But see, we get it all figured out as that it's got to be that away. All right? And we say, well, there's no way that that can be right. You know why? Because we have set within ourselves, through our thoughts, we have developed our point of thinking, you know, and like I've always said to you about, you know, a horse is measured in hands. Well, whose hands? Well, you're just a dummy that don't realize that they meant like a 9-inch hand. Well, I'm just a dummy enough to say Brother Arline was about 12 or 13, you know. And, you know, I was kidding Brother Ray a while ago about it. I said, yours is kind of small compared to his. Well, that's true. But it's the way we have of figuring it out. What is an inch? You know, I-N-C-H, inch. Misunderstand my pronouncing. Well, that's what we figured out to be an inch. You know, we say it's a foot. That pew is so many feet long. Well, whose foot? Somewhere they developed a word that would have the meaning to, you know, in their culture, their doings and things. And then you go from America to an inch to Germany, for instance, and it's called, what is it? It's not inches. Metrics. Metrics. And then we go to pounds and they go to some other word. You know. Well, see, it's because that we develop those ways of communicating what we are trying to talk about. All right? Now, I read you the statement there the other day. We want to start back off right there again on it because it's a very direct way of understanding to me to be able to get a point. So go ahead, brother, and pull up number one. This is paragraph 55 through 57. Who is this? Melchizedek. And look what he's talking about. And he says, now, notice now his attribute. And the attribute was first God, the thought. Well, like I said, we get it all. We're so spiritual. Now, that word God should be translated to Elohim. You know. Well, why do that when we're supposed to know what the word God means? The word God just doesn't mean object of worship. That's what it means, yes. But it also means we can use it for the eternals, the Elohims, the self-existings. That's what I don't understand about people with their education. The more education you get, it's supposed to make you more simple. Right? But it doesn't. It makes the people big. And like I always say, you go up north. I'm throwing off on the northern people, but go up north. And you say, what do you want for breakfast? Well, what do you want to eat? I want some maters and taters. They don't never ask you what you say it. They go off laughing like crazy at you. Because they know what maters and taters are. But then if I'd have sat down and they'd have said, what do you want? I said, I want some tomatoes and some potatoes. They said, what do you... your language is mixing you up a little bit. What do you mean you want? I want some maters and taters. You get what I mean? And see, Brother Branham will say something, and our mind is locked on that word instead of listening to the rest of what's said.
Right.
Yeah. Because we've got it figured out. So then we're going to translate it. We need, you know, a new Bible. We need all of these things. We need to upgrade the message. Notice now his attribute. Then the attribute was first Elohim. See, we're straightening him out. We're doing this, that, or the other. We done lost the whole thought of what he's saying. See, the word God is in the Bible. Didn't have any problem with it. All right. Hebrews 1 even makes it in great big capital letters and says God in sundry times and divers manners. He didn't have any trouble figuring out who it was. But look, the attribute itself all in one without being expressed. Okay? Now without being expressed. Okay. Then when he expressed, secondarily, he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. St. John, the first chapter and the first verse, notice this is, in the beginning, but before the eternal. Now, in the beginning, but before the eternal. Well, that's not right. Well, this is according to what you're thinking. You know I gave them, and I'm not giving this because of any point or anything. I'm giving it to get a point in your mind. That's exactly right. And to me, there's no better way of saying it than the way he said it. And when we get to the one in a minute where he said, God was the first creation. There's no better way of saying it. You know what it done? It confused the wise and prudent. All right. But let's stay on that just a minute. In the beginning, but before the eternal. You said, but eternal. But see, who came up with the word eternal? Come on. In the Greek or the Hebrew one is eon and the other is aeon. And then we go to the familiar one with all of us to use the word zoe. See? But who came up with the word eternal? It may not have existed until maybe Moses used it first. We'll just use that. But you know, that's about 3,000 years from the garden to there. Right? 2,000 to the flood. Come on, and then. when they came up with the word eternal, it was to express something. Right? Was to express what they were talking about. So somebody developed the word. Well, see, then, in other languages, it has different meanings to it. Zoe. I use aeon and eon because one of those is actually, one of them is eon, which means eternal. One of them is a word that runs right so close to eternal until it's just, but it's not eternal. Right. Just to, not to be smart, but just to tell you, we do know a few things. Because I study things out, you know, when I hear it. All right? So the prophet said in the beginning. Well, the beginning has a beginning. Now, beginning has a beginning. So it's a beginning. Where's the beginning he's talking about? What is he simply saying? What is simply the prophet saying? That there was a time that we could not comprehend in any form whatsoever the eternal God. Whatever you want to call him, Elohim, self-existing, Zoe, whatever you want to call it. There was a time we couldn't do that. But then back there, he dwelt totally alone. Just with his thoughts. And by being what he was, he said, well, how could you express this person that never had a beginning, never will have an ending? How would you express that? He said, well, the closest thing we've got to our concept of mankind and our thoughts is to use the word eternal. And the prophet would say, in the beginning. Now, if you'll listen to him on a lot of messages, you'll get finally one thought in your mind, this way he's doing. He's not just using that right there as the only time he speaks so oddly, as we would call it, or maybe about the word beginning. He said there was a beginning when there was nothing. Right. And he said then, we're going back there to the beginning. And then he stops at a place. And he says, now, there in the garden, he said, in the beginning. And he says, there's no time. Right? Then he says, well, then they had 7 days that... On 6 days they created and he rested the seventh. But there's no days counted at that time. Oh, yes, it was, because it's day one and day two and day three. You ain't even listening. Time never began until the fall. Do you need those quotes? Or is that sensible enough? So the time beginning, like we think about it, began there. In God's thinking, he was in the beginning. And that was before the eternal. See, we've got to make, now, see, get my point. I tried to get it over the other day, but I know it's not. It's, when you say eternal, you are making it something. No, I'm not. It's just, oh, come on. Like Brother Brown said one time, truth's hard to preach. Lies easy. Oh, boy, wasn't it something? Back there was it? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Oh, there was three gods back there. And then one of them talked to the other one. And the other one said, well, I'll go down and I'll do this and I'll do that. And we say, we can understand that. Yeah, it's a lie. It's a fictional story. And all it touches your inward beings. Because there's no truth to it. But what do you think about the word eternal? Didn't we say it is like a circle? Which signifies that it has no beginning and no ending. That's words to explain. Right? When you made it a circle, you made it something. When you said, God is eternal, you made a word. That develops your thought into words. All right? In the beginning, but before the eternal. Notice, put it back up, brothers, and we'll read on. Look what he says about this. Before the eternal. This beginning. This in the beginning, but before the eternal. Notice, in the beginning was the Word. When the time began, it was Word. But before it was Word, it was attribute, a thought. Then it was expressed. In the beginning was the expression, the Word. All right. He says, now we're getting to where this Melchizedek, you know, was. And look what he says about him. He is first being with spirit, God supernatural. All right, the great eternal. Second, he began to form himself towards flesh in a theophany. It's called the word of body. This then is the state he was in when he met Abraham. And was called Melchizedek. He was in the form of theophany. Now we'll get to that and prove it in a few minutes. So now he's done used eternal theophany. And you know we'll keep on going. That he uses the word logos. And he uses the word Son of God. All right. What about it? What about all those attributes? What about it? Going to number two and let's read it. Questions and answers on Genesis 53:7-29. Now, if God created man in his own image, in his own likeness, what kind of a man did he create? Now, remember last Wednesday, we emphasized that a good bit. It says, let us make man in our own image, which was father and son. That can't be two people. But yet the man he creates is in the image of father and son. Okay? He's a spirit man. Now if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, you know, the close reading of the scripture, and he gives him dominion of the cattle, who has the dominion of over all the things, the spirit man. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Now we've got a word creation to deal with. Because a creation deals with a beginning. Right? In our human terminologies of the word creation, it had a beginning. But he's not having any problems with talking about the first creation was God himself. Now watch. Now this is back before, in this part we were talking about, before the eternal. He hasn't come over to create yet. He's describing what he was before he moved over to create. Come on, get it right then. See, the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos. We don't use the word theophany. We don't use the word word. Which was the Son of God. Now this is back before anything ever began. And he says, Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man. Out of the Logos, Son of God, theophany, came a man. And that man is the spirit man of Genesis 1. I mean, there what it is. There. You get over to 2, I think it is, and you get to the physical man. All right? Just thinking about how a prophet can use these words so easily to him until it just flows. You've heard him say, I've got in my mind now. We're standing upon the banisters and looking over and watching all of this come into being. I told you, I said, he done that away just like Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Well, he got it from God. All right? And he was standing up there looking over the banisters, you know, in his mind, thinking. And he says, in the beginning, before the eternal. He said the first creation was God himself. And out of God came the Logos. What is he saying? Simple, simple terminologies. What is he saying? He's saying this is the only way humanity will ever understand the great eternal God. And you see that theologian sitting there, knowing he knows his wording and what he's speaking. But that theologian says, I can't follow that line. Well, give me your line. Well, I don't know how to explain it, but I don't agree with that. Now, if you tell me, come on, you ever tell me you don't know how to explain it, but I don't agree with you, I'm going to tell you, zip the lip because you're making a blabber. That's the best way to say it. Because you can't tell me I'm wrong unless you know I'm wrong.
That's right.
Right? You say, well, you're wrong. Well, what are you going to do? Show me.
Right.
You can't show me. If you can't show me the truth, that makes both of us wrong. Right?
Right.
Which that's what people do. I don't agree with Brother Dale. Well, show me where he's wrong. Well, I don't know how to explain it, but I don't agree with him. What you mean is your head's so big you can't shrink it low enough to listen to nobody else. Is that a good definition? Because if I tell you you're wrong, you better believe I'll tell you why that I believe you're wrong. Because I'm not going to say you're wrong if I don't believe you're wrong. And if I believe you're wrong, I'm going to have the way to explain it. I'm going to at least say this don't go with it. All right? But do you understand? But by using the word eternal, we make it a starting point. Now listen to this. When we say the word eternal, we're making it a starting point when our own word is condemning us, because if it is eternal, it had no starting point. Are you with me? When you say eternal, you're making it a starting point. When you say beginning, you're making it a starting point. When you say creation, you're making it a starting point. And I thought that was the revelation to this age, that Jesus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. You see why we don't know what the prophet has brought. In religious matters or terms, we use the word eternal to signify that there has to be some way that this one that we're talking about has condescended into words. He's condescending into the ability to be expressed by words. Are you with me? Sure, it took a prophet to get them words. Come on. But by him condescending the way he did to a lower level, as we called it, or whatever we read of Webster's, when the superior come down to rest with the inferior, we developed a thing called speech. And you know, isn't that odd that that's what the prophet would be saying? He said, Logos. He said, that's speech. Now come on, folks. Who created all things? Well, God created all things. He just God, he just created all that. Well, why does the Bible so emphatically state that the Word was a creator?
That's right.
And that Jesus Christ was that Word.
That's right.
Amen. Huh? Do you understand what I mean? We use the word eternal to signify that we have no way of understanding this, but we've developed a word that will bring it into meaning that we can have something that means what we're saying. Eternal. Well, so the first creation was God himself. Out of the Logos, out of the God came the Logos. Out of the Logos came the Son of God. Which was the Word. Now, Son of God. We use the word Son of God as a beginning point. Or son of a person or a baby born, a son, daughter, whatever. Meaning a person or something coming into being. Now, Brother Branham is using the word Son of God. And he's definitely using the word Son of God as the Creator. You see why the Trinitarians come up with it so much and say, well, they've got to be two. Well, there was a Father and a Son. Well, they've got to be at least two, so then we can call the Holy Spirit and make a three out of it. One of these days, we will understand why your prophet said it like this. He said, and God sent his soul back on the day of Pentecost in the form of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? We'll get back to a lot of things. We're not finished. But why not think of the word eternal as to think of it as that the great eternal God is going to unveil himself. He's going to condescend downward and be able to express himself. Right? See, God is coming into being. Now, you know what Brother Branham said? He said, now there's no such thing as God sitting up there and he sees the world in sin. So he questions around, is anybody wanting to go down? And said his son stepped up and said, Daddy, I'll go. He said, now that's Trinitarianism. He said he never sent a son. He came himself. Now you're not Trinity. But we could go to a oneness church today, and I watched them in Jamaica as I began to talk of some of these things to them in that oneness convention that I was speaking at. It's crazy how I wound up there, but I did. And, you know, they were just rejoicing. I mean, the things I'd bring out, they were just rejoicing when you're sitting looking at them and wondering what in the world that guy's saying. And they were rejoicing over the things I was bringing out. How that it wasn't that God sent a son, but that he came himself.
Right.
You know why they're rejoicing? Because that is oneness doctrine. You say, are you saying, Brother Brown said? No, I'm not saying that now. You don't be stupid with me. Brother Branham never taught nothing like that. Because you see, I tried to illustrate it the other night with you, and I wonder how many remembers it. You remember the other night when it was Brother Branham's quote, all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ poured into the church. You realize what you just done. If all God was poured into Christ, then there is no God. And if all Christ is poured into the church, there is no God nowhere but what's in you. And you're right in the middle of the devil's trap to try to make you think he's God. Well, are you trying to correct Brother Branham? No way. I'm trying to not cause it, but to get us to understand. Why would he be saying things like that? But you see, that's the problem. We have to empty a place and move it over into another place. And then we empty that place and move it over into another. Why not leave it alone? Why not leave it then that I can pray to my Father in heaven and know he's there. That Jesus could pray to his Father and communicate with him. See, one of these days you'll realize what Brother Brown's saying when he says, let us, he said, Father and Son. That's two people. But it wasn't two people to him. Mm-mm. See, he never emptied a space. He left it. When you say all God was, he poured into Christ. You're exactly right. All Christ into the church. Why? Listen. Do we believe the prophet? Do you believe the quote where he said that we would receive a message of cheer down through the endless ages after this world is over? Do you believe that? Now that's what he said. So then just remember, all, I know you're going to say, Brother Dale, you just interpreted it. Well, what are you doing? Wake up sensible enough one time to realize what you're doing. You're self-interpreting. You interpreted what I'm talking about. All that God was going to reveal to mankind in this world was put in Jesus Christ. That didn't leave him out of it. And all that would ever be revealed in this world was put in the church, or is being put in the church. Now, let's see if that's right. See, where's your scripture, Brother Dale? All right. According to the prophet in the Revelations 1 we've been reading from, when it says the revelation that God gave Jesus to give to John, he said there was things that Jesus, you believe it, didn't understand. He said, didn't know when he's coming. Right? That's Bible. No man knows the day nor the hour. That's Bible. And so then he said, but at this present time, when he comes to John on Patmos, he understands God. He said, he didn't even know his part in the kingdom. That's your words, your prophet. He said, but now he understands when he comes to John and can tell John these things. What about telling John what would go on in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, seventh church age before John was ever into the age at all? Because AD 95, 96, that's somewhere past in a little bit of Paul, had some of the 53s of Paul. Right? But he certainly didn't know what was going to go on in the next two or three ages, seventh ages, no. But he did by revelation. As Moses could write what had been, John could write what will be. Are you following me? Amen. Then what do you think about it? See, what we're seeing is the condescending of the great Elohim, self-existing one. The revealing or condescending of that great eternal one so that we can understand or see what he's been doing. Okay? Let's read that now. So go ahead with number three. Let's read this. This is taken from Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, preached in 63. Now, God's great secret mystery he had before the foundation of the world. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, what about that one? If you think Brother Branham don't make some bold statements of understanding, what is a theologian going to do when a man says back in the back part of God's mind? Well, we can't even understand the front part. Right? Then you're going to go in the back part? Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. He had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he actually wasn't God at that time because God is an object of worship and there was nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, now you know later what he said, he created angels worship him, all right, made him God. So in his great mind, he created these attributes. No, excuse me. Let me reread. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love. And these are the attributes. In him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. Now this is back before the world. Because you got to bring the Son into being, let him create the world. Come on. Stay with me on what I'm thinking. In him was love, in him was to be a Father, in him was to be Son, in him was to be a Savior, in him was to be a Healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Now you know that I've always taught you, and I believe it, God never gained no attributes after he got here. Now you show me one he gained after he got here. Well, I don't believe that statement. Well, show me one he got. Show me one attribute he displayed that he didn't have in him before the world. And I'll show you one scripture. I am God and I change not. So you're making him change. Accusing me of being something, and then what are you doing? These attributes. Where are these attributes in God? To be a savior, healer, deliverer, all of the things. Where are they in God? You've got the little drawing that Terrence gave you. So if you would, look at that drawing. And I've done the best I can do to try to pick up a few things by doing it. But just look at the little drawing that you have. If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Terrence will give you one. It's on the board. Now watch. Eternal. Attributes. While he was still in the beginning, but before the eternal. See, we think he developed these attributes as he came forth. Now that's making him change. You're getting into the wrong situation. He doesn't develop attributes, he displays attributes. All right? But look at his attributes. Was to be a father, was to be a son, was Logos, Savior, Healer, Theophany, Christ. Because see, I really didn't want to use this word Christ. But, and there'll be a couple of words I don't want to use, but I will use them. Okay. That don't make sense, but it does to me. But, see, that word Christ, we signify as being more coming into being through the Christ, the angel of the covenant. And that's where he comes into being. But remember, he had to be Christ back there. Before the world ever begun, he had all of these attributes. And there's many, many more attributes to be brought in. I've just wrote those out as a being where you can understand. But all of that equals speech or word. It was already there. If not, where'd it come from? Well, it came into being. You're not even thinking mentally. If you can see something come into being, you're seeing it displayed. All right. He came over here to display his attributes. All of these attributes was in this great person that we talk about. To call him God, Elohim, self-existing. You can even use words Yahwehs and things like that because those words are in the Bible. But do you believe it that way? Well, I don't really know where I believe. Well, do I need to reread again? I just read from what we read that talks of theophany. It speaks of Son of God. It speaks of attributes. It speaks of Logos. It speaks of theophany. I didn't say that. Your prophet said that. And he said these are his attributes. And see, he always had those attributes. Just like you were in your daddy as a germ of life. You didn't develop in your daddy after your daddy got on up into age. It's just like the prophet would say, every apple that was ever on the tree was in the seed that was put in the ground. All right? Are you with me? Yeah, but Brother Dale, I can understand a little bit, and I'm trying to express your thoughts because that's the way I think. I try to use this old thing up here too. Then you can say, well, I can understand Father, I can understand Logos, Savior, Healer, Theophany, Christ, But it's hard for me to understand that word son back there. He said, because that would be bordering on the line of eternal sonship. And Brother Branham says he didn't believe in that. But you know what he said he believed in? He said he believed in eternal Godship. It's... Well, why you got a problem back there? See, that's where our mentality winds up and blocks out when we look at the word son. Can't you just see the point of what he's thinking? Now, we're going to read some things that's very interesting. Some of the things I'd never thought of. Sorry about that. I'm not that smart. I've always said that Jesus, the Son, the Christ, was the Creator. Because there's nothing that the Father created. If the Father created the Son, then you got two. But if the Son is the Father made manifest in another form, you still got one. That's why you can even follow the DNA back in a family. Right? You can see who you belong to because that's the DNA. And see, come on, I found one the other day and I thought, well, that's pretty good because I've always, I know I've heard the tape but Brother Brown says, he says now the body comes from the female, the egg. But see, we don't believe that. Because we think in our mind, the body comes from the sperm of the male. No. That is what germinizes the egg. The egg produces the body. You see? We've got it all figured out. But have we? What are you looking at it? Can you see what I'm talking about? He had all of these attributes in him. And just to bring it down to a point of saying, all of these equals out to be the Word. Well, on the other side, you see, identically except for the top where it says eternal before the in the beginning, but not in time, not when time began to do, you see him standing back there as he moved over into the position to be able to create. He would be called the Son of God. Now you got Hebrews 1, Colossians 1, John 1, Revelation about 4. You got many, many more. James 3 and 9. Ephesians 3 and 9. All things were created by Jesus Christ. Because, see, the Father didn't create. That was the key. But the Son that was on the other side doing the creating was the Father that stepped over into the form and became Word. Speech. Not that he couldn't talk back here. That's where we miss the whole thing. We want to try to make something like this tangible. And then think of God just being a spirit that just floats around. I would have no problem whatsoever if Brother Branham, but I've never found it, so I'm saying it. I would have no trouble if he said back before there was any of this eternal ever started, any thoughts about it, that God lived up there in a great big city. I would have no problem with that. Because he dwelled in a place. He was a being. If you understand what I'm driving at, this is a being. This goes down to bringing that being into existence, and it takes 6,000 years to bring that being into existence. And I believe it's Christ a mystery. I'm not certain. I'll find it for you. But he said the only way he could be a father the way he wanted to be was to be the Son of Man.
Right. That's right.
That's what he's saying. Why? Because the Son of Man is going to release the life that could come into you and I to bring us eternal life. Had he not released that life, you and I wouldn't be the children of God. So he spoke his own children into existence. If you don't believe that, go back there in the scriptures where he said, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. We spend all of our time arguing over when that happened and know that it didn't happen before Calvary. Brother Brown said it was a promise to come instead of thinking about what was taking place. He actually spoke us into existence.
That's right.
Because we are his offspring.
Amen.
We are the children of God. Why can't we believe it that way? We was talking the other day about some of the people. A lot of people back years ago didn't pay no income tax. I've always paid mine, ain't had no problem. Come find out Jesus paid taxes. You remember for him and Peter? But you know, there's people in this message didn't believe in paying taxes. Well, you know what? Now they can't draw no Social Security. Whoopee, I'm glad they can't. Sorry for the people that's hungry, but I'm glad they can't because they didn't pay. They had this great revelation. You know what the revelation was? Jesus said, does the children of the king pay taxes? See, they say, the children of the king don't pay no taxes. I'm a child of the king. I don't pay no taxes. That's a spiritual kingdom. That's not a physical one. So they didn't pay no taxes. Now they can't draw. And ain't just a few people in this message. There's a lot of them. And I told them then, I said, well, you know, kind of odd Jesus paid taxes. He told Peter to go get the fish and pull out the money, go pay the taxes for you and myself. And he was the God. He was not a son, you know. He was not the son of a king. He was the king. The king paid taxes. He said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. That's Bible. But said unto God, that belongs to him. We're talking about a spiritual kingdom. This is not a natural kingdom. Jesus said if this was a natural kingdom, paraphrasing his word, he said my subjects would fight. You see, we've got it all figured out. And those poor old people now are in bad shape because they can't draw any Social Security because they didn't pay in any. Well, you know what? A lot of them is going to figure out a way to get up on welfare. And you know who's paying for that? Like my guy works on my car. I won't call his name, but he, not Donnie and him now. Up there in Gillsville. He said, my sister said she's had three babies by three men and don't know what daddy is the daddy of who. I said, you know what? I heard the other day she's pregnant again. Said, I jumped on to her at Christmas, said she got mad and ran out of my house. I said, I was laughing at him. He said, she got mad at me. Said, she said, well, the government's paying for her. He said, honey, you are the government. I'm paying for your babies, he said. Said, she got mad and left the house. But, okay. Do you see what it is? Go to number four. Let me read just a few of these and then we'll get to point and quit on that. We'll stop on these attributes. This is taken from the Message Investment, 1963, paragraph 17. He's talking about the compound names and the thing. Where the great attributes of God before he was even God, before there was, God is an object of worship. Before he ever become that, he was still God. He is eternal, and these attributes was in him. Is that enough? And they're just display themselves as being a father and a son, a savior and thing. It's just in, we're enjoying those things, right? Go on to the next one. Let's get a few of these where you won't be saying it's just one quote. Go to number five. We got Josiah and Zach back there running these things. And you know what I told them a while ago? I said, while I'm preaching, scan that audience every once in a while. I said, try not to pick out the ones that's asleep. You might be frowning and smiling at the wrong time and be on the internet. Okay. But look what he says off of the message. That's supposed to be number five, which is God's provided way of approach to fellowship in 1960. It says Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, the word God, that word there in Hebrews is Elohim. And all in the all-sufficient one, the self-existing one, the strong one. And in him was attributes to be Father. In him was attribute to be Son. In him was attributes to be Savior. In him was attributes to be Healer. In him was attributes to be God. There was nothing but God and God alone. Now these attributes was in him, so that made it display something to worship him. The first thing he made was angels, okay? Go to number six, which is the unveiling of God, 1964. Notice he never changed his nature. If I were you and say you're dependent upon the way that I bring things, I would write on the top of my notes, a very important word here now is being used of the word nature. I would write it on top of my notes to keep it, because eventually we'll get back to that. Because he never changed his nature, only his form. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he did not change his nature when he come. He is always that prophet. Watch. All down through the age, same thing. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word. And see, he cannot change his nature, but he changed his form, Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He just changed his mask, his form. All right? So here was the Father. Now don't look at empty spaces and leave empty spaces. Remember the point. Here was the Father back in the beginning before the eternal. He steps over into another form called a son. That's no problem. That's what your prophet said, as you said you believe a while ago when you said, yes, that's right, that he didn't send a son, he came himself. Well, why don't you believe he came himself? Just don't empty spaces and leave. I get... You know, these people make these big fancy drawings, and they'll make it, and they'll, oh, all God was. And then, they see, they leave this empty. Well, I know right then, they don't know what they're talking about. Because the more of God we get over here makes him more. Right? All right, he changed his mask. Look what he says on the Mighty God Unveiled, number seven. He goes through Schofield and the words, you know, that he uses of the form. We find the word amorphe in Greek. We find that his word changing from form. We find the word amorphe in the Greek, which means the unseen was made visible. Something that cannot. We know it's there. Now, anybody with one-eyed and high sense ought to know somewhere there had to be a God to begin with. You can say, well, it was a polywog. It turned out, well, where'd the polywog come from? Well, it's just, what's that other word, Gary? It's energy. It's just energy. Well, where'd that come from? Because scientifically proven, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be harnessed. That's scientific fact. So if it's energy, he was back before energy. He existed before energy. All right. Which means the unseen was made visible. Something that cannot, we know it's there. It can be. It cannot be seen, but yet we know that it's there. And when he changed his form of the amorphe, which means that he changed from supernatural to natural. And he just changed his mask. In other words, it's like a drama. He was acting in the Greek when they would change their mask. Maybe one player, you know, one player might have acted in several different parts. He just changes his mask. He never changes his nature. Do you believe that? Do you believe he never changes his nature? Because if he changed his nature, it wouldn't be Hebrews 13:8. Right? And he wouldn't be, Malachi 3, where he said, I'm God and I change not. Now, if he changes anywhere in any of that, he can change his form to another form and appear as that. That's where people have their trouble. There on the river, here stood the sun, here come the pillar of fire, here come the dove, and the voice out of. If that had not been, you would have went into oneness. Remember, oneness is like his finger. Remember, one means all God was, he stepped into Christ. All Christ, he stepped into the church. That's oneness. That is oneness. Because oneness is like your finger. And all the God that stepped out, they rejoiced when I said, the great eternal never sent his son. You ought to heard 300 oneness people screaming at those things. That God never changes. He just changed his form. The only one they backed up on was Melchizedek. They couldn't swallow that too easily. And for 3 nights in a row, I preached on the Godhead. And got a whole lot more respect out of it. Even told them women preachers I didn't agree with them. And they invited me to come and preach in their church. Here you can't even go preach nowhere. All right. Those attributes. He changed his form to morphe. Like a drama, he's acting it out and things. I'm going to stop right there. Because if I go any further or going into other things, we'll pick it up next Wednesday. Won't have no trouble. But if I was you, I would ask you to do. I've asked you to do it. I've asked you to listen, read, or whatever. Questions and answers on Genesis. That's all I've asked you to do. To see where the prophet is saying these things or not. But make sure you get what I'm talking about for a second, and then we'll have the musicians to come. Remember, we're not oneness. So then all that would step over here and leave nothing over there, come on. You're getting into oneness doctrine. And Brother Branham was definitely not a oneness.
Right.
When he said all that God was, to me that means all that God is going to make known. Was revealed in Jesus Christ through the endless ages. Do you think you're going to heaven and going to sit up there and not learn about God? What kind of a God have you got? He sent a message of cheer down through the endless ages after we leave here. An eternal partaking, he said, of the Word. We're just getting enough here to be able to understand when we get there. You see, all of those attributes was in him. Before he ever came across that line, as we would call it, to begin to do anything, and we'll pick it up next week, when he comes across that line, he comes across that line, and Brother Branham says, now listen, he said he had in his mind what he wanted to do. You better read and listen. Because that he that he's talking about, you read and see, we'll prove it next week, that he's talking about is the Son. That's why I'm not a Trinitarian, but I'm not a oneness. Doesn't bother me for a River Jordan, don't bother me for a River Jordan experience to take place. That don't bother me. Because I'm not a oneness. And I'm not Trinity. Don't do away with the forms of God. Are you listening? Just because he changes form doesn't do away with the form. Now, come on. Me and my wife, I used to be just a snickle-french of a kid, right? Had attributes in me. I had to have somebody to help me because those attributes could never have been displayed. Those genes, those genetics and things. So one day, you know what? I got married. And I got somebody to help me display my attributes. Right, Brother Ray? And you wind up with children that are your attributes. And you know what? They're so much your attributes until the DNA will prove it. I looked in the paper the other day, and it's so wonderful to think about. They're solving crimes today that was committed 40 years ago that finally got to the people to where that they had the DNA material laying, but they didn't know how to use it. It was in the paper just this week how many cases they had solved and turned the people loose because the DNA proved they were not guilty. It's a wonderful age in a lot of things. Let's stand. He doesn't change his form. I mean, his nature, he changes his form. But don't do away with any form. I am a father. I'm a son. I'm a human. I've got many, many manifestations to me. But I'm only one person that is doing that. But my wife does it. She does it. You know how that's done. But I'm not her daddy. The children. Say, Daddy. The grandkid says, Poppy. The great-grandkids, they just call them, say, Poppy, you know, anyway. But you know what I'm talking about. To think about what he has done and revealed to you and I. Now, here's the one that always comes up in my face and does. Brother Dale, do you think we believe to know, do you think we need to know these things? You do not want to know about your God. You would tell me you don't need to know about your God. People spend $1 million to try to find out where their daddy was at. And the old goat run off and left them when there was kids. I wouldn't hunt 2 seconds for somebody like that. But people spend millions of dollars to try to find their true parents. You mean you don't want to know about your daddy? You don't want to know about the one who created you and brought you into being? You don't want to know about your Savior? You don't want to know about your healer? You don't want to know about your deliverer? The only thing I got to say is the altar's open. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because if that's where you are, then you certainly need something to help you. I want to know more about my daddy. I didn't get to know about my daddy. You, a lot of you are a whole lot different now. He was about 4 years old, I was, when he passed away. I have very little recognition in my mind about anything. But I, you know what? Someone would start talking about him or something. I remember my sister, and it tickled me to death. She was talking about, and it was bad, but said that she got mad at a boy on a school bus because said they looked out the window and said, "There's old Sam, ain't worth a," put the big word out there. And she said, "I'll floor him." Said, "Wasn't going to talk about my daddy like that." Well, you see why I get upset when a lot of people talk about my daddy and try to make him 3 or 1 or some kind of something. Or belittling. He chose, if you notice the definition, voluntarily to come down to be with us. What a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad he's my God. And you don't understand. You'd have to be in the position of others and you think it. But sometimes when the things are running the worst and things are going the worst it can be, that's when I pray, Lord, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to know, Lord? I'm being whooped on every side. I'm being beat to death. I ain't praying, Lord, you just get on them people and start whooping on them. No, I said, Lord, I want to know what's going on. You just forgive them because the prophet said that you'd have people to say things to just to see what you'd react. You know. And Lord, help my reaction to be right. Let me be right, Lord. Just forgive me. And I also know that right in the middle of that, he's going to reveal something. He's going to reveal something to me. You can be the lowest you are if you'll go just open the Bible or the prophet's message. I've been so low until I couldn't read. You ain't never maybe been that low, I guess. I've been so low I couldn't pray. I've been so low I couldn't think. But walk in the study and sit down and just turn a book. And God speak to me on something, it'd take me 6 months to preach it. You just don't understand my father, I guess. But I love him. And I like to talk to you about him. Go ahead, what we got?
398 Spiral. He paid a debt.
He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. I paid a debt that I could never pay. He wants to be right, and he said he offended his sister, his wife. Lord, forgive him. He was honest enough to admit it. Now just forgive him and cover it. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Isn't that something to just say, I offended somebody, and I want to make it right.
Christ Jesus
paid a debt
that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glorious to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Now I sing a brand new song.
He needs God to come on the scene, but he needs physical things. So let's just believe. Let's send this and you give it to him. And you just tell him what we've done tonight.
Amen. I told him to be expecting it.
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
This man has a lot of problems physically.
Yes, Father.
We know God didn't take care of all the physical and mental and all everything else. And we believe you, Lord. And we just ask you to go and touch the brother there, Lord, and make all things well. You touch him physically. You touch him mentally, Lord. You just come down and be a preeminent one in his life. Thank you for our brother having the desire in his heart for to believe with us, and we'll all believe together. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. anybody else that just have a need that I could never pay. Think about it. My brother's got a problem with his foot. We condemn that hurting. We believe you, Lord, that by your stripes he's healed. We lay our hands upon him, believing it, joining with him. He's made the confession that he's healed. We believe it. Now then, just take away the pain, the problems, in your loving grace in Jesus' name. Display those attributes, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, Brother Branham made a great statement one time. He said, you know, God'd rather see you well than for you yourself, some way paraphrasing. Said he wants you well more than you want to be well. Well, I don't like to hurt. And I want him to take away the hurting, right? So then how about it?
That I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day?
In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe you, Father. You're the one we've been speaking about tonight, Lord, a great loving God. Just come and speak to Jeannie now and just take away all of these things. And just let her realize that we're praying for her. And all will be well in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Someone to wash my sins away. How about it? And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. It's all day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Amen. Let's sing Ain't God Good before we go. Remember, Wade Sunday be ministering. Just pray to the Lord would bless him and give him what he'd have need for us, because we believe it, right? But so many blessings undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today. Do you love him? Tomorrow, ain't God good? Oh, you creation. Look what he's made us. Look what he's done. All of those attributes are at our disposal. He done that all for me.
That's what I am.
That's what we got to believe in, right?
I'm a new creation.
I'm a brand new man. What are we? We are heirs
of the Father.
We are joint heirs with His Son. We are the people
of his kingdom. We are family. We are.
You're dismissed. Sing it to one another as you're leaving.
Ain't God good to give us